This is The Hub on Books. I'm Claire Nichols, and today I want to introduce you to a new series all about the craft of writing. The author Tara Moss is going to take charge of the microphone for this one. Tara is the author of 12 best-selling books of fiction and non-fiction. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Claire. I'm really excited about this series because over the past 20 years, I've been asked a lot of questions about the craft of writing and about my own writing process over the last 12 books. And I've always been fascinated by the way other writers approach their work. And often I'm looking for new ideas myself as well. So I'm going to learn a lot, I think, talking with the authors today. I chose to break down the writing process into three major areas. So we're going to talk about research, plot, and character.
Okay, and we're kicking things off with research today. I'm sometimes surprised by the level of research some writers do when really they could make anything up they wanted.
Well, some do. Some do, but some are meticulous about their research for a variety of reasons. For instance, I've always been a bit of a method researcher, if you will, immersing myself in sensory experiences to try to gain layers of insight and authenticity and also to get inspired. Well, frankly, it's interesting as well. It's more interesting. I've been to morgues and seen autopsies. I've toured the Quantico organization and the FBI. I've flown loops over the Opera House and spent time in countless courtrooms and with police. But everyone has a different approach. So I'm really interested to speak with our authors today. I'll be speaking with Emily Maguire and Jack Heath about research. Emily Maguire is the author of 2 works of nonfiction and 5 novels, including the Miles Franklin Award and Stella Prize shortlisted An Isolated Incident. And Jack Heath has written more than 20 action-packed books for children and young adults, including the popular 300 Minutes of Danger series. His latest is also his first adult novel, definitely not for kids, the disturbing crime thriller Hangman. Hi, Emily. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, you've both written multiple books, books I really enjoy, and some of which have involved really heavy research, but they're both very different books, which is why I wanted you to be here today to chat about the writing process and specifically research. So my first question is, how long do you spend researching a book versus writing it? Emily?
Oh, that's such a hard question to answer because I don't do them as 2 separate processes. So often I'll start off with research with a lot of reading to get myself sort of immersed in the world that I think I want to create or a version of that world. Then I'll start writing and I'll find little things I want to research along the way. I might do that straight away, but I'll also be, while I'm writing a first draft, also compiling a huge list of things that I know I need to do a lot more research into. Writing is such a process of discovery for me, so I need to discover what I need to know as I write.
Now, Jack Heath, what about you? How long do you spend researching a book versus writing it?
I think very little of the research I do, I think of as research. My approach is to just generally try to live as interesting a life as possible and then, hope that turns into good fiction after the fact. But because each book I write, the writing of the first draft usually takes 100 hours, give or take, depending on how long the book is. And then the 200 hours of editing, a lot of that is research in the form of not only fact-checking, but also showing my work to as diverse a range of well-read people as I can possibly find, and then taking on board their feedback and criticisms because I don't know my own blind spots.
That's really interesting, actually, to approach research from a collaborative perspective. For me, I guess I get a little bit caught up in the research. I'm a bit obsessed. And for my latest book, which hasn't come out yet, it's set in the 1940s, and I fully spent a year researching the period before I started writing. The characters kind of became fully formed through that research process. So by the time I started writing, I already knew the characters quite well through that process. But I felt that was possibly slightly overboard. You know, my publisher would be like, come on now, can you just put some words down? So I like to, short of actually committing a crime, put myself in the place of the characters that I'm writing. Now, Emily Maguire, I wanted to ask about your research for An Isolated Incident. It's a haunting novel that takes place in Strathdee, a fictional town in Victoria, and follows the journey of Chris after the brutal murder of her sister. You spent a lot of time with journalists who report on murders, and you're also with an ex-detective. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so initially my research was reading a lot of crime reporting and to get the voice, because there are sections of the book that are actually news reports that are written by my reporter character. In terms of the mechanics of the reporter's job, I did spend a lot of time talking to people who do that work, but also going a little bit deeper and talking about, you know, so much of when I'm writing is trying to understand how something feels so I can recreate that in a character of what it feels to be living a particular life in a particular way in a particular time. So asking questions beyond what did you actually do to get this story, beyond what did it feel like, for example, what does it feel like to have to walk up to the door of someone who you know has just lost someone in a violent way and knock on that door, and those kind of emotional ramifications that come through there.
And you really take us into Chris. You know, she's such a compelling character, and the book is funny at times, but it's very heartbreaking, or at least it certainly was for me as a reader. I'm wondering how you kind of navigated that journey emotionally and psychologically, because when you write a first person and you're really inside a character's head, it can be very harrowing.
Yeah, it was at times. So something that readers of the book often tell me is that it is Chris's sense of humour, which is quite bawdy and irreverent, that helped them get through the darker side of the book. And that's exactly how it was for me writing it, that being able to write this character who sort of refused to damp down the more risque side of her character and not be funny and not be rude helped me get through some of those darker places. But I mean, the big thing, there's a certain amount of research that I did about the specific experience of grieving for someone who has been lost through an act of violence, because there are some recurring things that happen and some differences there. And then mixing that with my lived experience of grief and also my lived experience as a sister, and kind of starting to meld those things together, the research, the lived experience and observation, to create a character who is grieving a sister who she's lost through violence. And that is, you know, did require me to go to some fairly dark places to get that sense of authenticity with that character.
I'm author Tara Moss, doing a special series for the Hub on Books on the craft of writing. And today I'm talking with authors Emily Maguire and Jack Heath. Now, Jack, your protagonist in Hangman is an unusual one with a certain predilection I'll let you describe. Can you tell us very briefly about Timothy Blake, codenamed Hangman?
Sure. The gist of it is that Timothy Blake is a civilian consultant for the FBI in Houston, Texas, and he has a brilliant mind. He's very good at remembering clues and noticing them in the first place and reading people and knowing when someone's trying to deceive him. But also he has a near constant hunger for human flesh. So he's struck into this kind of awful deal with the FBI, where for every time he saves someone's life, because his specialty is finding and rescuing missing children, for every life that he saves, he is given a body to do with as he pleases.
A life for a life in that literal.
Yes, well, sort of. The people that he has given are already dead, and they weren't killed for the purpose of being given to him. It was supposed to be kind of a gruesome hypothetical, the idea that you could have an immoral act which had no negative consequences.
Yeah, so it's a fascinating play on ethics, and I think I can certainly say thoroughly original and really readable. Can readers get behind an anti-hero like that is actually a really interesting question. I guess it was one where Dexter comes to mind, but this is, looking at capital punishment and looking at the ethics of that as well. Now, for research, you went to Houston, Texas. Can you tell us a bit about what you did there?
So I went over there in 2010 because this book has been in the works for a long time. So I was already writing it by that stage. In fact, I was a couple of years in. I went to visit a prison there. I didn't get to go inside, but I saw a prison that is known only as The Walls. It has a proper name, Huntsville, but people call it The Walls just because of these huge red brick structures stretching almost to the sky with guards with assault rifles standing around the edge. And at the Texas Prison Museum, I listened to recordings of people whose job it had been to to push the button and execute an inmate and talk about how it was interesting to me that there were some people who were for the death penalty, but having actually had to execute someone, they're still for it, but it haunts them anyway. That was an interesting sort of psychological road to walk down for me.
That brings me to my next question, which is how you approach research that's disturbing, because Emily Maguire, Jack Heath, you've both written books that are disturbing in their own ways. Do you set boundaries beforehand, or do you just go all in and hope you come out the other side in one piece? Emily, how do you approach it?
Yeah, it's something I've learnt to approach differently. At first, I was definitely all in and thought it's all just research. It's not really going to affect me, but it's you know, I had enough experiences of doing some really heavy research and finding the nightmares and sleeplessness. And occasionally with my third book, Smoke in the Room, which deals with very heavy themes like suicide and mental illness, having to find that I couldn't keep writing that book, I had to really put it aside because the realness of it got too much. So I certainly approached the darker research with more care now. I make sure, for example, I'm quite prone to going off on my own and writing for weeks or sometimes months at a time. I try and not do the heavy research when I'm off somewhere on my own. I try and make sure I have people around me that I can come back to at the end of the day. And also it can be really important to be able to talk through and to debrief with some of this stuff after having delved into the dark side of life.
And Jack Heath, when you're researching capital punishment and cannibalism, do you need to have that debrief with someone? I mean, how does one approach even researching cannibalism as a topic in the modern day?
Yeah, like Emily, when I was younger, I was a little bit more gung-ho about it. I mean, I would sort of make a point of trying to go beyond what I thought would be expected in terms of the research that I was doing. You know, I would try eating raw meat, and I went to some websites, which in retrospect may have been satirical, but I believe that they were legit at the time, which were talking about how to butcher a human being. But it's worth pointing out that I think, so I am someone who has a fairly weak stomach, and in fact, I'm known as a fainter. I'm someone who, you know, you don't want to go to see a horror movie with me because there's every chance I'll just pass out and crash land on top of you. So, and it's not my goal to do that to my own readers, to be clear, but I think when something is troubling me or bothering me, or when I'm becoming obsessive about it, writing is how I kind of get it out of my system. So instead of it being like a system of me deciding to write about something horrible and then doing a bunch of horrible things in order to make it authentic, instead, it's usually just that I start off with my brain full of horrible thoughts, and then I write this novel to try to get them out of my head and onto the page. And as for the research, it tends to be something that I've either I've done it already, or I do it, but I do it cautiously, especially these days because I'm all too aware of my own limitations.
Emily Maguire, can you tell us a bit about the project you're working on at the moment with regards to research and writing?
Yeah, so I've had the incredible good fortune to have received a writer in residency at the Charles Perkins Research Centre at Sydney University. It's a very unusual opportunity because the Charles Perkins Research Centre is a medical research centre. So I have an office in this building filled with incredible scientific minds, medical researchers and clinicians. I'm researching a novel that is in part around someone who's a compulsive hoarder, which is a behaviour that has a lot of intersections with things that are being researched at the Charles Perkins Centre. So it's an incredible, incredible work life I have at the moment where I spend part of my day writing, and when some of these thoughts occur to me of I wonder how this works or that works or if this got something to do with that, there are these brainy, brainy people in the same building that I can seek out and speak to. And sometimes I'll just go to a seminar or some kind of event there that seems to have nothing to do with what I'm working on, and it's really thrilling the way that even something so tangential or seemingly not related at all to what I'm working on can spark incredible ideas and push me into new areas. So research as a means not just to fill in gaps of what I know, but actually to push my imagination and my characters into new territory is so thrilling.
Now, we're chatting research and the writing process. And look, readers love to tell an author when they mess up, naming a street wrong, for example, or in my case, describing the wrong poison. I'm pretty sure I screwed up the description of the poison used by a character in my first ever fiction short story when I was in my 20s. So I'm curious, Jack and Emily, have you ever made research mistakes that you've been made aware of? Jack Heath?
Yeah, yes and no. I wrote a book called Money Runner quite a long time ago, and there was a scene where the main character, who's a teenage girl, she steals a Bugatti Veyron, which is an extremely valuable car, and then she drives it off the roof of a skyscraper. And one reader sent me an email, and these emails always begin with something like, "Dear Mr. Heath, ordinarily I enjoy your work, but..." And there was on page 67 or something of Money Run, it talks about the teenage thief Ashley Arthur grabbing the gear stick of the Bugatti Veyron when everyone knows that the Bugatti Veyron actually uses a flappy paddle gearbox. And so I was very apologetic about that. And then later, I was telling this story to a car nerd, and they said, "Oh, well, there was two models of the Bugatti Veyron. One has a stick shift, the other has a flappy paddle." And I wish I'd known that at the time so I could reply to the reader. But it made me aware of the fact that you can't have a footnote in your book that says, "This may sound wrong, but actually," I did some research. So you end up sometimes having to make a choice between what is actually genuine and what is convincing. And I always try to go on the convincing end of the scale, because I think I'm aware that I'm writing fiction rather than nonfiction, and sometimes you've got to make allowances for the story.
What about you, Emily McGuire? Have readers ever contacted you about sort of research-related errors or anything like that in your work?
Yeah, definitely. With my first two novels, they're both set around the area where I grew up and spent the first part of my working life around western suburbs of Sydney, mostly around Parramatta. And I set them, especially the second one, Gospel According to Luke, very obviously in that area, but I made up streets and buildings on those streets within the larger area. And I got quite a few really annoyed emails and letters from people who made the point that they were so excited to see a book of Australian literature set around Parramatta, because that hardly ever happens, and then so annoyed that I got it wrong. And it was embarrassing to me, because it wasn't wrong because I didn't know the area. I knew it very well. It was wrong because I had just decided I wanted there to be a big mega church in an area where there wasn't one. And that experience is sort of one of the reasons why Strathdee, in an isolated incident, is an invented town. And it has aspects in common with some Australian small country towns. But I wanted to be able to have things where I wanted them to be instead of where they actually were, without annoying people.
And fair enough in fiction, I would say. Thank you so much, Jack Heath and Emily McGuire, for this wonderful chat about research and the writing process.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Tara.
And thank you, Tara Moss, for being our guide on the craft of writing. Tara will be back next week to talk about the craft of plot with the authors Catherine Fox and Chrissy Neen.